You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. And those of you joining us for the very, very first time tonight, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a good habit to get into. Lots and lots of folks around this planet have the habit. And now you're here, so we hope you get the habit as well. This is Open Line tonight. I've got some really, at least I think, very interesting news out of NASA and also from Hubble. From the Hubble telescope. And when you put these together and put it together with things that we already know out of NASA, things we've already heard, it's pretty curious. And I'm going to get into that a little bit tonight. But and this is important. This is very, very important. It is open line. That means if you don't like what we're talking about and you want to talk about something else, all you have to do is pick up your telephone, call the number that we'll put up on the screen, and I'll give the number out for those of you who are listening via radio. And you just pick up the telephone and you call, and the topic that's on your mind becomes the topic we discuss. We really have only one banned topic here, absolutely banned, and that's politics. And other than that, I guess we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I would prefer you keep it within our genre of the weird, the strange, the unexplained, but we'll let you pick the topic, as long as it's not politics. We, last night, provided a new video feed. There were problems with the JetCast player. It was not JetCast. It was not their issue, nor really was it ours. We did some investigating on this. Here's what we found out. I don't know if there's any correlation at all. But and I don't really suspect that there is. However, I have to tell you that we've been experiencing here in this area, right here, for the past week and a half, a massively increased number of military helicopter flights right over us here, and several times a day, and I don't really know what that's all about, but we are seeing a whole lot more of these military helicopter flights. As a matter of fact, we didn't used to see any military helicopters fly over here, but they're flying over several times a day now. And one of them is a Huey, and I thought that the United States had the military had finished with Hueys. I didn't think they were flying Hueys at all anymore, but apparently either they are or somebody is. It's a OD green, you know, the drab green Huey. And then right before showtime last night, this computer locked up, the one that does the radio broadcasting, and then Dr. Bob's computer locked up as well. I'll tell you the rest of that story when we come back after this break, all right? Right, we are back, and as I promised, I would tell you the rest of the story. Right before showtime, and I mean like 4 minutes before showtime last night, this computer that does the radio broadcast, we have one computer over here, it does the radio broadcast. We have another computer over here that does the television broadcast, and I've got two other computers under the desk here that do some other things for us. So the one that does the radio broadcast, locked up. It just locked up. It wouldn't do anything. You couldn't even do a shutdown. So the only way to shut it down was to unplug it, power it down. And so we did that and rebooted it. And literally seconds before it was time to play the intro, we were back up and online and we played the intro at the appropriate time, and that's automated. Dr. Bob's computer, he does quite a number of things for us around here. Dr. Bob, for years, has done a little bit of, it's not really research, but I tell him something I'm interested in, and he goes and finds a bunch of articles about it and brings me those articles, and then I research the articles. And so it's sort of collaborative work there. And he also does some producer work for us. And his computer locked up. Now, the deal was, all these computers, of course, are running through the same router. We experienced something that I've never even heard of before. I've never even heard of anyone having this happen to them. I didn't know it could happen. And that is, the router reset itself. I don't mean it rebooted. On the back of the router, there's a little sort of a pinhole. And if you take the point of a pin and you push it into that hole, it resets the router. In other words, it resets it to factory default. No one did that, but that router reset itself. And when it did, it dropped. It went all back to factory defaults, and that meant it dropped the port assignments that we had, so JetCache could not pick up the broadcast. So that's what the deal was. I've never heard of that happening. Some of you who are computer gurus, maybe you know something about that. Somebody said, well, maybe it was a power outage and it just blinked and it was back up. Yeah, but that doesn't reset everything back to zero. It doesn't reset everything back to factory defaults. You can power down your router and then power it back up, and whatever port assignments you have made are still in there. It's still there because you actually, they're not there. They are made online. So it's pretty interesting. I don't know what's up with all that. I don't know that there is a connection, and actually do not truly suspect a connection, but it's just kind of weird that we're also having all these overflights here, fairly low altitude overflights of military helicopters. Don't know what that's all about, but that's pretty interesting too. All right, so as I said, now this is going to be an open line show. I have a couple of things I want to put on the table before I open the telephone line. And I want to explain to you again about the one other thing. Because of the fact that we had that going on last night, and we were really just barely broadcasting, because of that, when somebody wrote in and said, hey, can you turn the volume up? Nope, I'm sorry. It is what it is. And I really didn't have time to explain all that. But now you know the story. And you also noticed last night that we were not broadcasting in stereo. Tonight we are. We were sending it out in stereo, but we were just barely able to get anything out last night. And so tonight it should be back to normal. And we're on our new video feed, which means that you should be getting a much better video than what you were getting at our old service. This is really, really a whole lot better, I think. I think it's a better quality, and people, even last night, people wrote in and said, hey, you know, this is so much better than what you had. Stay with it. Well, we intend to. The other service started charging, and they didn't just start charging a little bit. It was going to cost us something in the neighborhood of $14,000 a month to do what we do. And so, ain't in the cards, my friend. So anyway, here we are, and I think it's a pretty good service. But we're looking at some others. Now, when I open up the telephone lines in just a little bit, let me remind you that our telephone system, now, the telephone system we have is because we had a lot of folks complaining when we just had the one line. And they said, oh, you know, you've got so many calls, you need more lines. So our telephone system does rollover. What happens when you call, I give one number. When you call that number, and it just pops up a little thing on the screen, and I click it, and it puts you online, and then you're able to hear the show. Okay? And then the next call that comes in, if you're still there, you're on hold, but you can hear the show. The next call that comes in goes on hold, and they start hearing music. And the next call that comes in, it rolls them over to voicemail, and the next one to voicemail. And the next one, it simply says, you can't complete the call at this time. Now, I have no control over that. I do not own that phone company, all right? That's the way that works. If that happens to you, don't say, well, their phones are not working, or I can't get... Look, you got a redial button. Hit it. Use it. And you'll get through eventually. On some shows, we have, you know, over 150 calls in 1 hour. Now, imagine if we were to put all 150 on the air. That would mean that each caller would have less than 1 minute to speak and no time at all for a guest to reply. So we put as many on as we can reasonably. But just keep hitting redial. You will get here, okay? Now, if none of that is satisfactory to you, we have a complaint department, and this is our complaint department manager. And this is my alter ego, and that's the complaint department manager, and he will be more than happy to hear your complaints that you can't get through on the phone. And look, I'm sympathetic with you about that. I know you want to get through, and I want you to get through, but I got to tell you, the phone system is the phone system, the clock is the clock, and there's just not a whole lot we can do about that, all right? All righty then, let's get to this information from NASA. Now, I told you about this, sort of. I told you about this, I don't know, Wednesday, Thursday last week, I mentioned that NASA has put on hold now the next Mars mission. The next Mars mission was supposed to happen in 2009. And this is a big mission. This is a mission where they're actually going to check for life itself on Mars. All right? It's not a manned mission, but it is a big mission, and it's an expensive mission. And so they're going to be checking for life on Mars. Not, you know, up till now, they've been looking for the compounds and the and the gases and the so forth, all the chemical makeup, the things that it would take in order for life to exist on Mars. So now they're going to be looking for life. And NASA Administrator Michael Griffin has said that they are going to push this launch date from 2009 into 2011. And the reason is because it says the he says the 2009 launch date is no longer feasible because of testing and hardware problems. Testing and hardware problems. In other words, our junk don't work. I know it's bad English, but hey, you know, it's open line live. Now, there's an interesting statement here by the associate administrator at NASA. His name is Ed Weiler. And Mr. Weiler says, and I quote, "Failure is not an option on this mission. The science is too important, and the investment of American taxpayer dollars compels us to be absolutely certain that we have done everything possible to ensure the success of this flagship planetary mission." All right. I understand. Truly, I do. I understand they don't want it to fail. I mean, it was kind of embarrassing whenever they had the mission where they sent the satellite over. It was supposed to land over to Mars, and it totally disappeared. And the reason it disappeared, according to them, is because there were some of the engineers that thought that the measurements on certain pieces were in inches, and it was in centimeters. I find that completely ludicrous. And the reason I find that ludicrous is because, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Because in engineering and especially aerospace engineering, you have to be so careful, and there's so many checks and rechecks and rechecks and rechecks. I don't see how a mistake like that could have ever possibly have gotten through the system. But anyway, that was the explanation. It was kind of embarrassing. And, of course, that Mars mission disappeared. It was the Polar Lander. And they think it probably crashed onto Mars. So why is this announcement interesting? Well, let's put something else with this. Because here's the question I have. Why is this mission so much more important than all these previous missions that also cost millions of taxpayer dollars? Why is this one so vastly different? All right, let's fast forward, and let's get over to Hubble Space Telescope. The Hubble Space Telescope, as you know, has been up for about, I don't know, what is it, about 18 years now. And it is a fabulous, fabulous piece of scientific equipment. It has just performed marvelously and has really expanded our knowledge of the universe. Well, 2 hours and 43 minutes ago, this report was filed. NASA's Hubble Space Telescope has discovered both carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide in the atmosphere of a distant planet in a key step for finding extraterrestrial life, the space agency, NASA, said today, Tuesday. All right, now, when you go down through this article, it describes that, you know, they're looking for the elements, the compounds, the chemicals, the gases that could indicate habitability and could indicate the presence, or at least the possibility of the presence of extraterrestrial life. And they have found carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and methane on this planet. Well, they're pretty interested in that. It's 63 light years away from Earth, and it's a Jupiter-sized planet. It's too hot for life, and it's all gas and liquid. That's what they say. But they say this is a very important step because finding carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide and methane indicates that there's the possibility, under the right conditions, that there could be life. All right, let's go back to our story about Mars. Now, this Mars mission was supposed to be looking for life on Mars, and that is what it's going to do. It's going to be looking for life on Mars, right? It was supposed to happen in 2009. Back in 1976, several things happened when the Viking lander did its thing. The Viking lander did an experiment, Professor Levin's experiment, and it showed that in that experiment that there were signatures of biological life. And they were all excited about it for about, I don't know, the first 24 hours or so. And then they ran a different experiment. It didn't show that. And so they said, oh, well, the first one was wrong. No, the first one wasn't wrong. The first experiment was designed to test for that. The second experiment, that equipment wasn't designed to test for biological life. And so when it didn't find any signatures for biological life, that seems to me to be quite what you would expect since it wasn't designed to. Your automobile is transportation, but it isn't designed to fly. And so it's sort of like saying, well, jets can't fly because my car can't. And that's what they did. One of the other things that the Viking lander did is when it cooked off some of the soil in an experiment, the scientist said, and I think you deserve to hear it.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for.
That's him. 15 times more oxygen in the atmosphere than what they could account for from all known sources. Mars isn't like what they've been telling us. It has 15 times more oxygen than they've been telling us. And there were signatures of life in that experiment in 1976. Since then, we know that a couple of things have been found. We know there's carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide in the atmosphere on Mars. And 15 times more oxygen than they've been telling us. And they have found methane in the upper atmosphere. Methane is normally a biological produced gas. And then they've also found ammonia in the upper atmosphere. Now, ammonia can only last in that upper atmosphere for 4 hours, six at the most. So that means any ammonia that has been found in that upper atmosphere, any ammonia, is no older than 6 hours old. And it is a biological product as well. Now, there are other ways that ammonia can be formed, but it's a biological byproduct as well. Those of you who have children know that when they're infants and you have to change their diapers, those diapers, the wet diapers, if you don't wash them pretty quickly, start giving off the smell of ammonia. Well, there's a reason for that. It turns to ammonia and to uric acid. So that's why you smell the ammonia smell. Ammonia and methane are both biologically produced byproducts, or they are byproducts of biological processes. They can happen other ways, but that's one way, and it's the most normal, usual way we know of. I'm not through with this yet, but I will be shortly after we come back, and then we'll open the telephone lines for you. welcome back to Open Line Live. Now, I told you there's more to this story, so here it is. This is pretty interesting. If you put together the statements made by the scientists from the Hubble Space Telescope, and, you know, they say it's very, very significant. Listen to this. The very fact we are able to detect it talking about carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and methane, the very fact that we're able to detect it and estimate its abundance is significant for the long-term effort of characterizing planets to find out what they are made of and if they could be a possible host for life. So now you have Mars. And Mars has CO2, it's got carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, methane, ammonia. It's got everything it takes, plus 15 times more oxygen than they've been telling us about. And if you've just tuned in, you need to be up to speed on that. So
what we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
That is the chief scientist, the chief biologist for the Viking lander mission in 1976. So we put all that together, and you know that NASA is saying in their minds, okay, Mars is possibly a place where there could be life. So far, they're saying they haven't found any signs of life. I'm not actually convinced that that is 100% true, but it may be. And again, I want you to understand that in saying what I'm saying and in the speculations I'm making, I'm certainly not assigning any sort of nefarious motivations on the part of NASA. They've got their reasons for doing what they do and saying what they say, but when you put all this together, you've got a 2009 mission that's going there specifically to look for life. First time that they've actually had a mission going to Mars specifically to look for life. It was supposed to happen in 2009. Now, they've been building these spaceships and sending them to Mars for many, many years. They say, is a very complicated mission, and I understand that. I understand that it is a very complicated mission. And they say that Mars is a very unforgiving planet. I understand that. But I also understand that there's 15 times more oxygen than they've been telling us about. There's carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, both elements necessary, both are factors necessary for life like us. And then you've got methane and ammonia. Both are biological products from life like us. By life like us, I don't mean humanoid. I mean carbon-based biological life. And so you've got all that. And then add to that this reported meeting. It was reported to have taken place at the United Nations building, having to do, in February, having to do with the necessity of telling all the people of the world that extraterrestrials exist, they are real, and they have been visiting the Earth, they are visiting the Earth. Some people scoff at that, some people think it didn't happen, and yet we've seen events happen after that alleged meeting that are right in line with what we were told was the agenda of that meeting. And so what if they get there in 2009 and discover life? What if they get there and they discover life that is not just microbial, but actually confirm the existence of perhaps intelligent life on Mars, or confirm that there has been a civilization of intelligent beings living on Mars? Now, if that happened in 2009, it might shoot in the foot this effort that's ongoing from that alleged meeting to acclimate the world's population to the idea that extraterrestrials do exist. It could short-circuit it by letting the cat out of the bag too soon. So if we push it back to 2011, then it buys some more time, because you launch it in sometime 2011. It'll be 2012 before the thing lands, and well into 2012 before we start getting any sort of data back. So if it starts confirming the existence of life on Mars, we're well into 2012, and the target date to get everybody acclimated was 2012-2013, that time period. Purely speculation on my part. Those are the turnings of the cognitive gears of my mind. And I don't know what you think about that. I just found it fascinating when you put all that together. All right, it is Open Line Live, and I am going to open the telephone. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. All right. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, I'd like to apologize about last night there. I actually did not know that Paul Smith and the guy from SciTech International were competitors. I didn't know. I didn't mean to offend him or anything. So.
Oh, I don't think you offended him. He was just informing you. I think he assumed you didn't know and was just informing you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I didn't pick up that he was offended by it. I certainly see no reason why he should be.
Okay, because I was sort of plugging one of his competitors, and I didn't even know it. So,
well, look, yeah, that's like, you know, people call in here and they're nervous if they about, you know, well, can, you know, I don't know if I can mention another host. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, look, Art Bell lives, George Norrie lives, and, you know, these guys host shows, and a lot of people that listen to my show listen to their shows. They're in one way competitors, and in other ways they're not. And I enjoy their shows too. So, you know, it's no big deal.
Hello?
Yep, it's no big deal.
Yeah, everybody's got their own brand, and I love listening to all of them. Like, I love listening to the Kevin Smith Show the best, but I also love listening to John Greenwald Jr., George Norrie, and the others. But I've got to go talk about the Mars thing, you know. I don't think there's really much anything up for debate. I think NASA is just beating around the bush to keep the people that don't know, to keep them from, just to keep them distracted. With they say, oh, we're going to go there to look for life. We got signs of possible life. Oh, come on. We've seen the pictures. We've heard we've seen the declassified documents. We've heard of Richard C. Hoagland and all the others. There's artificial structures on Mars. We've seen them. There's evidence that there has been life on there, and there's even evidence that there still is life on there, I think in the form of an extraterrestrial base. And, of course, we've also heard of the secret space program that I believe that some of the U.S. military may secretly also have bases on Mars.
I don't know about the bases on Mars, but, you know, I sort of chuckle a little bit whenever I hear people talk about the secret military space program. I'm sure that most of what they do is secret, but their existence I don't think is secret. I mean, you can find them on the internet. I have, and I've talked about it on the air, and you know, there are more launches out of Vandenberg than there are out of Cape Kennedy and or Cape Canaveral. I'm not sure what they call it now. There's more launches out of Vandenberg out in California than there are from NASA's launch pad. And so I'm not sure their existence is not secret. Let me tell you, at one time, the U.S. Space and Missile Defense Command website, now, this would have been in 2001. Now, Yeah, 2000 or 2001. I was still in Kosovo. And their website even listed the names of their astronauts. How about that? And there was an application online so that military flyers could apply to become one of their astronauts. It was not a NASA application. So, you know, I don't think all that's still up there. I talked about it on the air, and they got flooded with people going over there to look at it. And I think a lot of that has disappeared. But that's fact. And I don't suspect that the military space program itself is a secret, but what they do, I think, is probably very highly classified. Kevin, thanks for the call, man.
All right, have a good night, man.
All right. All right, folks, the telephone line is open, and I am quite interested in hearing what you think about all this. What do you think about my speculation about the Mars thing, and what do you think about CNN giving the axe to their science and technology team headed by Miles O'Brien? I asked the question last night. I posed the question last night. Do you think that Miles O'Brien did all those UFO reports on CNN and then because of that got the axe? Or do you think he did those because he could see, he could sense the axe was coming and he just wanted to get that in before he had no platform? What do you think about that? And what do you think? I mean, do you think CNN has made a wise decision here? Or do you think maybe CNN has made what I termed a moronic decision? And you understand, whenever I talk about CNN, they sort of are the flagship for news stations, for news networks. I mean, they're the big one. They're the big boy on the block, are they not? And so I talk about them because they are most visible, and I share my opinion, and it's not very favorable. But what's yours? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Eric in Atlanta, Georgia. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Eric. How are you?
Just fine. Regarding Miles O'Brien, it is funny how he did those shows, and now he's getting axed. I've actually been in touch with him because, as you know, Dick Criswell, he's got that fragment that he says is mostly silicon, 1% unknown.
Listen, we have a break that's going to hit us in about 2 seconds. Are you willing to hang on?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. I'll get back to you right after the break. We'll be back, folks. Don't go away. We are back. And Eric, are you still with me?
I'm still with you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. All right. Sorry we had to cut you off like that. But go ahead. Tell us about whatever it was you had started. You had just got started.
Yeah. So because of some of the few connections I've got that know Miles O'Brien, for this recent week-long special they did on American Morning, where it was every morning they covered Roswell, they covered abductions and SETI. Well, the connection, one of the people that were actually featured, Edgar Mitchell, I'm friends with him, and he put me in touch with Miles, and I wanted to show Miles the fragment of this purported UFO that Dick Criswell had sent me. So he was very interested in all, but time ran out, and so I couldn't be part of that documentary. So he said, we'll keep in touch, maybe we'll do something in the future. And then about a week or two later now, I'm seeing that he's leaving CNN. and I'm just like, wow.
Have you been in touch with him since he got the axe?
I sent him an email, and I said, gosh, I sure am saddened to hear you're leaving CNN because I enjoyed watching you when the shuttle launched, but I haven't heard back from him. I sent it about 4 days ago, I think, to him.
Well, I would imagine that he's getting lots and lots of email right now from all over the country, people expressing their shock and disappointment and dismay. So he may just not have time to respond to all of it. Yeah. But
I just understand why they're going to integrate the space and technology unit that he ran with the normal newscast. I don't see what the point of axing him is.
Well, let me tell you something.
Funny.
Yahoo, if you go to Yahoo News and click on science, click on the science tab, there used to be a long column of categories that they covered. I checked it today, and if you click on full coverage, full science coverage, there are three categories left. Everyone seems to be cutting back on telling us what's really going on. Something's up, something's in the wind, I don't know what, but something momentous is in the wind.
And while we're on the topic of actual physical possible evidence, one guy who, I just spoke with him, he had a heart attack, so his health isn't too good to do interviews, but Mr. Bob White, he's got an interesting piece of material that he said he saw get ejected from a UFO in Colorado, and he was able to find it. He's been showcased on the History Channel.
You're talking about the man that has the piece of a UFO that's kind of shaped like a ram's horn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Several years ago, he was on this show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and that's very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. And I think it would be interesting to compare it to the piece that you've got.
Yeah, he's trying to get somebody who's willing to provide funding for it to get thoroughly analyzed. He said he had it analyzed at Los Alamos, and a technician, when he called, said that it was the most extraordinary thing he had seen. So Bob White went to the newspaper, and the newspaper called the technician at Los Alamos, and he denied everything.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, I appreciate the call. Very interesting information, man.
Yep, all right. Take care.
Thanks. All right, folks, the telephone lines are open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Puget Sound. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Ryan. How are you?
Wonderful. Good. I hope you had a good weekend.
All my weekends are exactly the same. I work 7 days a week, but thank you.
Well, this is interesting news coming out of NASA, the story that you found. The Hubble Space Telescope that discovered a planet that has carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide, is that a planet outside of our solar system?
Is that
Mars you're talking about?
No, that's extrasolar. As I said, 63 light years away. So,
well, I tell you what, I've never been as frustrated with NASA as I have been in the past year or so. I think it's reached the point where NASA's in a bubble, and just like the housing bubble, just like the other bubbles that have popped, and people have either gone to jail or lost their jobs and had the unemployment line with the rest of us. You know, I think it's pretty safe to say that there's a lot of people in NASA that want the truth to come out. But then there's a few intellectual mud-sucking toads, sub-intellectual mud-sucking toads that don't want anybody to know. And I think those people are kind of worried that their bubble's about to pop and the American people might start demanding a rebate check for all the money they've been wasting, you know.
Well,
it's just frustrating. It's frustrating to hear that here we are in this economic crisis, and the American people are systematically being, we're getting ripped off, if you ask me. But NASA should explain to us where they've been spending all our money.
It would be interesting to know, wouldn't it? I think what the deal is, and I mean, really, there are signs that they're trying to get information to us. You know, there are little things that get said, and then no one will comment on them. But they still get said, and then the photographs get released. And we see things in the photographs. And I think what they're doing is they are getting the information out to us without violating the law we put over them. Again, first of all, NASA is not civilian. It is Department of Defense. Secondly, we placed one of the most heavy-handed laws over their heads that we've ever placed over anyone's heads. And they can be put in jail if they talk and reveal any information about extraterrestrials. They can go to jail, and furthermore, nobody even has to be told what they're charged with. They don't necessarily have to be charged. Habeas corpus is pretty much suspended with that law. They don't even have to tell their families what jail they took them to. They lose their pensions. It's just a horrendous, heavy-handed law.
Now that's a sad state of affairs right there. I mean, here's people that at least put their life on the line by going into space is a dangerous thing to do, but... why? I just don't understand why the secrets. We deserve to know what the reality is. I think that people would realize how unpowerful we really are if we find another planet with civilizations on there. It'll be kind of an ego deflator for the human population. Now this thing that you were talking about, this Hubble Space Telescope, is there any way to determine that extrasolar body could possibly be the same thing that they were talking about? Remember last summer when they had a press conference and they said NASA finally discovered what we've been looking for the past 50 years and possibly thought it might have been Planet X, but it wasn't. You know, it had the flames coming off it kind of deal.
Yeah, and I forget what it was. They said something. Oh, it was a missing supernova. That's what they said it was.
The American people and the population is getting ahead of them. We're not as dumb as they think we are. We're really, the people are smarter than they want to get credit for.
I agree.
I think we're kind of moving past them. We already have private space flight. You know, we're already moving past them. The shuttle is going to be ending in 2012, and private space flight is going to start passing them up. You know,
we don't. Well, I agree. I think we're the public long ago ran past the stupid stories of the spin doctors, and only the really truly bubblehead idiots buy those stories. And it's unfortunately, there's a great many truly bubbleheaded idiots, but that's the only people that buy those stories. The general population, the general public, has outrun the stupid stories of the spin doctors. And, it just doesn't work anymore. Hey, Ryan, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thank you for taking the call.
Bye. You bet. All right, folks, the telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. And if you're watching our internet television channel, it's scrolling across the bottom of your screen. And when we come back from this break, I'll take more of your calls. What do you think about all this? Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have a caller online. Let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Steel. This is John. I'm calling from the Ozarks.
In the Ozarks. Okay, well, we're getting an echo. Let's see if we can get rid of that. All right, what's on your mind?
Okay, during your prologue, you were mentioning the helicopters and also losing the data on your router.
Yeah.
Sounds like you might be getting a little bit of a pulse from an active magnetometer. They might be looking for something buried or might be doing some mapping of where certain metals are.
Well, that would be interesting. What would you suspect they'd be looking for?
Well, perhaps caches of weapons, possibly something that could be a very nasty surprise. It would be looking for metal, though. That's why they would be pulsing that area and, you know, mapping it back. And that, usually you're pretty protected unless it's a pretty strong pulse. And if they were right over your house and get pulsed, well, I'm surprised you didn't lose all the CMOS data on all your computers. But I did notice your problem the other night and was a little bit amazed about it. And I want to get in a little bit on the conversation about Mars.
All right, go ahead.
Man, we know there's Martians. We're them.
You think?
Well, see, everybody always says, well, there aren't any UFOs. There's no aliens or alien equipment from other planets visiting Earth. Well, why not? We do it. You know, we send our equipment off to visit other planets. I'm sure other planets would do the same thing. And when you think of all the billions and billions of planets out there, man, if we're the only one with intelligent, well, if we can call ourselves intelligent life, but if we're the only ones with intelligent life, a starry state of affairs.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any possibility that we are alone in the universe. I really don't. I don't know it to be a fact, but, I mean, you know, in terms of experientially, I've never been to another planet. As far as I know, I have not met face-to-face extraterrestrials.
That's the nice thing about them extra testicles, man. They go in there and change it around where you don't remember.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a sign for my complaint department, too.
Yeah?
It's Miss Waite handles all of our complaints. Her first name's Helen.
Yeah, first name's Helen. If you have a complaint, you can go to Helen Waite.
Go to Helen Waite. Right.
Man, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Oh, yes, indeed. All righty. Look, I understand that people get frustrated sometimes with something not working, and you do have complaints. That's why if you're a member at the Kevin Smith Show, you can go to our contact page and select member support and tell me what's not working, and I'll try to get it fixed. Sometimes whatever isn't working is because of something outside of our control. Sometimes it is something we can control, and when we can, we'll fix it. And I don't know. You do know that the picture that I put up of our complaint department manager was a joke, right? Doesn't make me angry. So if something's not working for you, you write to me, and we'll take a look at it. All right. Well, what do you think about all of this? I mean, put the pieces of the puzzle together and look at the big picture. Let's go back to what we know for sure. What we know for sure is that on February the 12th, there is an alleged or a reported meeting at the United Nations building in which representatives of about 40 countries are briefed, according to the report. They are briefed in the reality of extraterrestrial presence here on this planet. And they are urged to come up with some way to acclimate the population of the Earth to the idea that extraterrestrials do exist, and not only do they exist, but are visiting this planet. And the reason that was given, at least the reports that we got about that meeting, the reason that was given for why there needs to be a concerted effort to acclimate the world's population to extraterrestrial reality is that very soon extraterrestrials are going to show up here unambiguously. Now, what that means, I don't know. That was not explained. But that's the terminology that was used in the report about this meeting, that extraterrestrials are going to show up here unambiguously. And everybody is going to know. And once everyone already knows, unless there has been an acclimation program, then there could be chaos. All right, so you move from that to just weeks after, days after that, the Vatican's chief astronomer, or the chief astronomer of the Vatican Observatory, comes out with a statement that there's absolutely nothing wrong with Catholics believing that extraterrestrials are real, because, after all, they're just our space brothers. And then there have been some more interesting developments and statements out of the Vatican since then. And then you've got a host of countries that are releasing their UFO information. So all of a sudden you start seeing all these journalists taking seriously the phenomena of UFOs and reporting on it seriously. And you have Miles O'Brien who does that. And Miles O'Brien and his team get the axe down at CNN. Then we get the stories from NASA pushing the Mars mission till 2011. Now, they've been building spacecraft to go to Mars for a long time. They've been putting up sophisticated spacecraft around Mars, on Mars, for a long time. But this one, for some reason, this one is especially delicate. And I want to read to you again what the NASA's associate administrator, Ed Weiler, said. He said, failure is not an option on this mission. Failure is not an option on this mission. The science is too important, and the investment of the American taxpayer dollars compels us to be absolutely certain that we've done everything possible to ensure the success of this flagship planetary mission. Ladies and gentlemen, one would hope they've been doing everything necessary since their inception to protect the American taxpayers' investment in space exploration. What's different about this one? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Ron. Ron from Maryland. I haven't called you for a while.
How are you doing, Ron?
Oh, pretty good. I know good. You're working those 25 hours a day.
pretty close.
Yeah, I can't seem to understand is you know when you're seeing Mars, you're like say that they had a picture of Mars and a picture of Earth, and Earth you have the you got the clouds and you got the blue seas and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see Mars, you don't see one cloud or nothing. Now I'm the one that wrote you and said I think there's a lot more stuff on Mars, like oxygen and clouds and stuff like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they always have a picture of Mars where there's nothing hardly except for the polar caps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if that picture is really real.
Oh, I think it is real. But you're right, that's the one you see almost all the time. However, on this show, just weeks ago, I showed several photographs from Mars. I showed water on the surface of Mars that one of the rovers had just driven through, and its muddy track coming up out of the hole that had the water in it.
Oh, wow.
And I also showed a picture that was taken by Hubble Space Telescope in 1990, I think it was 1999. where there was a cyclone near the North Pole of Mars. The eye of that cyclone, the eye, was the size of the state of Texas. And it lasted for months, and the scientists that analyzed all the data from that storm said that it was a water vapor and water ice cyclone, which is what you have here. You know, the upper levels of a hurricane, the very top upper levels, have ice crystals in it. So you have the exact same thing on Mars, and I made a point of saying, and by the way, there was this massive band of clouds that just went around the planet from that cyclone, and I made the point of saying, here on Earth, according to NASA's own website, in order to get a cyclone, you got to have a massive body of water, an ocean, and the surface temperature has got to be at least 80 degrees Fahrenheit. You have to have a thick, wet atmosphere and above it, and the upper levels of that atmosphere have to become unstable. Unless physics operates different on Mars, there's an ocean over there that they're not showing us.
Yeah, well, how come when they show Mars, this looks like a dead planet then? I mean, when you're coming to it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, did you catch the early part of the broadcast?
Yeah.
The early part of the broadcast, I talked about the fact that things are quite different on Mars than what they've been telling us, and I played a soundbite from their chief biologist on the Viking lander in 1976, and he said there's 15 times more oxygen in that atmosphere than we can account for from all known sources. Okay, if you take what they say that oxygen on Mars accounts for 1% of the atmosphere. Okay, what's 15 times 1? 15.
8%, yeah.
All right, 15% oxygen, you can breathe it and live. So can I. People living in Denver, Colorado, people living up on the sides of mountains everywhere are at 15%, and they live.
Oh, yeah. Well, I emailed you that, Kevin. I said that. Mm-hmm. I always thought there was more oxygen on Mars than what they're telling us. But what I'm saying is, if you're on the moon and you look at the Earth, right?
Yeah.
And you see the seas and you see the clouds. How come if that was Mars instead of the Earth, how come it look they make it look so dead if there's more oxygen? I mean, not more. Yeah, more oxygen or there's more water. Are they? What I'm trying to say, are they doctoring the picture?
Oh, I have no doubt about that. They doctor the photographs from the moon. I have no doubt that they would doctor the. I know they doctor the. I know for sure they doctor the photographs from Mars. Look at all of the photographs that we used to get from the surface of Mars, from our various landers. They were red, and the sky was red. But now we know that's not true. Now we know for sure, because of live pictures coming back from those rovers, we know for sure those skies are blue, and the ground is no more red than right here in the desert I'm seated in.
Yeah. Well, what I noticed, there's been a lack of pictures from Mars lately, where they used to show a lot of different things. It's to me, I mean, I don't know. It looks like a blackout on Mars, you know what I mean?
Yep, you're right. There's a big, silent black hole forming around Mars.
Right.
You're right.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you is, you never hear anything about Venus, okay? Is Venus really what they say it is?
Well, I think there are probably things about it that are what they say. But I don't think that we've been given the true picture of conditions on any of the planets around us. I really don't. You know, not even the moon, which is not actually a planet, but it's big enough to be one. There are clouds that have been observed on the moon. And they've been observed by astronomers, and it's well documented and recorded. If there's no atmosphere, what are clouds doing on the moon? It doesn't happen that often, and it's not like a huge cloud bank, but clouds have been observed. So, Ron, thanks for the call, man.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Don't wait so long to call back. We want to hear from you sooner next time, all right? 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580 is the number to call. And it is open line live. If you don't want to talk about the things that we've been talking about, you call in and tell me what's on your mind and let's go for it. That's what open line live is all about. Let the good times roll. I learned that when I was living and working in Louisiana. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll. So we'll talk about whatever's on your mind. I don't know. I find it very, very curious, this thing about the information blackout, and it seems there is one. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. I'm calling from Toronto, Canada. Dominic. Oh,
Dominic. Haven't heard from you in a while, Dominic.
Oh, I just wanted to say I'm not going to complain. I want to say thank you.
Okay.
I usually come in. I come into work the next day. I catch your show, unfortunately, on the latest show, and I want to say you're doing a good job, and thank you for entertaining me while I'm working.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So there's no negative comments from me. And just a quick question is why? Why does NASA want to cover it up? Why wouldn't they say there's water? Why wouldn't they make the general public in the United States very excited so they can fund these programs? And then maybe they'd be more in favor of funding these billion-dollar expeditions instead of funding the bailouts.
You know, Dominic, the reason is, at least I think, this is my opinion, I think the reason is this very, very onerous, heavy-handed law that we have suspended above all of their heads. We actually have a law that says if I come into contact with an extraterrestrial and make that known that I have come into contact with an extraterrestrial, I'm in violation of this law. I can be put in prison. Nobody has to be told where I am. And I can be held there indefinitely. We actually have that law. And anyone working at NASA is very aware of the fact that if they let information out that confirms the existence of extraterrestrials or past extraterrestrial civilizations, that law will fall on them like a ton of bricks. And that's the reason.
Seems to me it's getting harder and harder for them to keep the secret.
You can't keep the secret anymore. Our everyday technology that's in the hands of the common everyday person now makes it possible for us to know things they didn't want us to know, and it makes it impossible for them to tell us things that they used to tell us. It doesn't make it impossible to tell us. It makes it impossible for them to tell it and have us believe it.
I just had this subconscious feeling that something's going to come down. Something is eventually going to break, and I just don't know when. Hopefully very soon, maybe in a couple of years, where they can't deny it. So hope that day comes very shortly.
Well, I hope it does too, and I hope we survive it. I hope it's not a traumatic and catastrophic day for us. But I think whether we want it or don't want it, it's on the way. Yeah.
Well,
thanks.
Anyways.
Thanks for the call.
Again?
All right. Look, things happen, and they happen at their own pace, and they happen in their own time, and there's very, very few rivers that you can actually change the course of the river. You know what happens if you change the course of the river? It will go back to its original course. It will cut through whatever it has to get back to its original course. So that's the way truth is. You can't. You can divert it. You can diffuse it. You can pollute it, but it never stops working to get back to its course. And sooner or later, the truth comes out. Sooner or later, people know. And I think we are living in a time when people generally know that there have been intelligent extraterrestrial civilizations living in this solar system on various of the bodies in this solar system. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. This is Steve in Fort Worth.
Hi, Steve. I am doing well, sir. Stand by one moment here.
Sure.
All right. I'm adjusting your volume. All right. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Kevin, I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate your methodical thinking on the Mars thing. I mean, that, to me, that just shows how in tune you are with what's happening. And you kind of have to be that way these days because there's just so much information that we're bombarded with, and you have to kind of sift it out and put the, like you said, put chain together, you know. And I want to make a comment. You know, recently I had sent you a video on some phenomena that was noticed in my backyard area.
Yeah, right? And you posted that in our forums, and I want to thank you for that. Now, I got to tell you something. The one you sent to me, I had difficulty seeing anything. But when I went online and looked at it, I could see that ripple sort of effect in the air, that sort of wavery effect or wavy effect in the air.
Yeah, it's very peculiar, and I'm thinking that you know, I think I've actually got something that's kind of new that I've never seen before on any video. And there's been quite a few members that have responded and that they claim that they have also seen this phenomenon. And but I wanted to tell you that, you know, I took some initiative and I posted the same information on the Above Top Secret website. And the funny thing was that after 24 hours, they removed that information from the website and never really gave me an explanation why. And I was kind of astounded. Well, actually, I got a little worried because I was wondering, you know, what did I post on there that was not supposed to be there? And anyway, I just wanted to put that out there for your listeners. But also on the Mars thing, I was wondering, you know, they had some photos of those caves that were kind of like the, they're like big black drilled holes that go right.
Yeah, there. Huge holes in Mars. Yeah,
and I wonder if that would account for some of the. The oxygen levels, perhaps, you know, that, you know, I mean, I believe that if there is life on Mars, that it has gone below the surface, and maybe they've got these generators or something that's actually producing oxygen below the surface that is, you know, rising through those holes and coming into their natural atmosphere.
Well, it could be, and that could be the source of the carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide as well. And, you know, it's, you're I think probably on to something there, that it certainly could be that. It's interesting to me when they landed the Phoenix lander up near the North Pole of Mars and scooped up dirt and burned it, it gave off oxygen. Hey, we're into a break, man. I got to run. Thanks for the call.
Sure. Thanks.
All right. We'll be back right after this. All right, I've got some flash messages I want to get to, and so temporarily I'm going to not take calls for just a few minutes here because I want to get to these flash messages. This one from, that one's from the United States. We don't read those. We use telephone lines for United States. From Australia, Kosovich writes, Kevin, I think Mars is a dead planet, and all those pictures people show are like finding faces in clouds. You see what you want to believe. Okay. And this one from Andrew in Australia says, about 2 weeks ago, you mentioned a bunch of scientists, archaeologists, historians, etc., were meeting in the United Arab Emirates to announce a groundbreaking discovery. I think it was on the 25th of November. So anyway, have you heard what this discovery was? There have been no reports published that I can find on what was announced at this meeting. I have looked and have not found any reports having to do with that meeting and transpired. So I wish I could give you an update. I would love to have an update, but I don't have one, and haven't been able to find any of that information anywhere on any of the news services. So I really don't know what to tell you. But yeah, you're right. I did report on that. There was that announcement that there was going to be this groundbreaking discovery announced. And as a matter of fact, I even put a picture of the hotel where they were going to have this conference and in the UAE. And it was a pyramid-shaped hotel, remember? And you're exactly right. But there has been no information that I've been able to find since then. So that's a little bit of a mystery as well. All right, I will open the telephones again for just a little bit here. The telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. And if you have anything that you want to talk about, well, that's the number to call. All right, let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're alive on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Clay from Arkansas, and I'm going to try and make this brief. I'm looking for a job, and I don't have much money to spend.
Okay.
It's a hypothetical theory.
All right.
Okay. Basically, well, at least I'm up front. Basically, okay, we're going to go to this digital in 2009.
Yeah, television, digital television, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, wonder if, I'm a little nervous, wonder if digital cameras, wonder if we're giving them to aliens and letting them go out there, like the way we done back in World War II, okay, they would have 8-millimeter cameras, and they would show the war footage
Take a deep breath.
You
it's okay.
You understand what I'm trying to get at?
Have no idea.
Oh, I'm not even making any sense. Like films, like the...
Yeah, at the movies.
Yeah, like at the movies. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm just nervous, okay?
All right. And, take a deep breath. I don't bite.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. I don't bite, really. Just take a deep breath and be cool. It's okay. Talk to me just like you would talk to your next-door neighbor, all right? Well, I don't know. Some of you don't get along with your next-door neighbor. All right, 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580 is the number to call. And I will accept telephone calls for the next few minutes. When we come back, though, you know, we take a break in a few minutes, and when we come back, we'll be on final approach. And I probably will not take telephone calls then because I want to wrap up and tell you a little bit about what's coming tomorrow night. I think you're really going to want to tell everyone you know and get them to tune in and listen. Hey, what do you think about the new video service? Is it better? You know, I've gotten a couple of emails from folks who said, man, this is so much better than the old service. If so, I'm pleased. I certainly hope it is. And, I one of the things we've all always been trying to do is to sync up the video and the audio, and that's very difficult to do when you're broadcasting via the internet. Radio broadcasting via the internet is no problem, none whatsoever. But when you try to sync up video with the audio, you know, so that it doesn't look like one of those old cheap movies, you know, where the mouth moves and then you hear the words, or you hear the words and then the mouth moves, it's very difficult to get that done. And but I've gotten a couple of emails from folks who said that, yes, indeed, it is working much better. And a couple of folks have said it's much clearer, better video, better quality video than what we had. And that's good. I certainly hope so. One of the reasons is because we are now doing something that we weren't doing. We are now doing something we could not get to work with the old service. It would work, it wouldn't work, it would sort of start, and then it would hang up, and all kinds of mess. But what it is the Flash Media Encoder. And so we're actually sending the video encoded as a Flash video. And it's a better quality than what we were used to. So maybe you've got something along those lines you'd like to tell us. Or maybe you've got a comment about this thing about the Mars mission being pushed back till 2011. I find that curious beyond description. One of the things I haven't mentioned, and the phone line is open as far as I know. I was wrong. The phone line was not open. The phone line is open, 602-539-9580. And I would love to hear from you. One of the things I haven't mentioned in quite some time is the K-Files e-zine. And you need to know that anytime we make any changes, if we encounter any kind of difficulties. Look, when I'm in the middle of the show and we start encountering some sort of difficulties, I don't tell you what the nature of those difficulties are. I just try to deal with them and get on with the show. And then after the show, I try to track down what the difficulties were and fix them if I can. But we put all the news about the show in the K-Files e-zine. And if there's any changes that are upcoming, we put it in the K-Files e-zine. And it always is amazing to me. I put, you know, like 3-4 weeks in a row, I put something in there that this is coming, this is coming. And then it happens, and I get all these emails from people saying, why did you change this? And I know when I get one, you're not subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, so you need to subscribe. That way you won't be in the dark. All right? It's free. Why wouldn't you subscribe? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, sorry I'm a little late. I didn't really have anything for the show. I was just enjoying listening. It was entertaining and relaxing. But then I just thought of two quick things I thought I'd brush by you real quick.
Shoot.
Okay, the first one was, I've been thinking about this a little bit for the last couple of days, just randomly for a few seconds, but... well, we kill and we eat animals and do whatever we want, push them out of their habitats. We basically treat animals extremely inferior because we're smarter, whether or not we have a different soul like Christians believe or anything like that. But we do it because we're smarter and because we can. And sometimes I think that God just put everything here if there was one, and we choose to do with what we want with free will instead of the high and mighty thing like humans are just so much better. I'm wondering, how is that any different if an alien comes along and meets us and they're a lot smarter? Why wouldn't they hurt us? Why wouldn't they hurt us like cattle and things like that? What reason have we even given them if not just hypocrisy in the fact of treating us like intelligent, creative, nice beings? I mean, the way we act and whatnot. If they were to mistreat us, wouldn't that be the same thing that we already do to things below us?
Well, it very well could be the same thing. And, you know, we may not be anything more to them than a lab rat.
Wow. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I will say this, that I think that they see enough of our technology, primitive though it may be compared to theirs, I think they see enough of our technology to know that we're not lab rats, I just don't think they really care.
Oh, I see. Well, okay, then the next thing to bounce off you would be basically the Earth. You know, like a tooth, when it starts decaying, you know, there could be decay all over it, and we're totally eating away at the enamel of it. Eventually the tooth dies, and I was also thinking, if all these things are true, and there's just light and souls and things like that in an afterlife, but reality hits in millions of years, how many animals have become extinct? They must have been important in their communities. And I'm just thinking to myself, it's possible that the humans could actually become extinct, and the whole planet could pretty much die one day from us polluting it, and political problems and dark ages or a nuclear bomb. It is possible for us to wipe ourselves out, isn't that correct? And I'll leave you with that.
Yeah, it is possible. Thanks for the call. You bet it's possible for us to wipe ourselves out. And, you know, a lot of people are under the misimpression that, or the misunderstanding, that because the Cold War is over, that there's no real nuclear threat out there. Au contraire, my friends. The Cold War may be over, and I'm not sure that it is. But let's, for the sake of argument, say that it is. The Cold War may be over, but there are still enough nuclear bombs left on this planet to make this planet just a wisp of vapor out in space. So is it possible for us to destroy ourselves? Sure it is. Even if we don't use nuclear bombs, it is possible for us to pollute ourselves out of a livable biosystem. It is possible for us to poison our air, our water, and our soil, our dirt, to the point that we cannot live here any longer. Can we become extinct? Sure we can. Absolutely. And really, if you just look at the long reach of history and our propensity for killing ourselves, we ought to be on the endangered species list. We'll be back right after this. Final approach, and we've made it almost through this show without any of the major technological headaches that we have actually been putting up with and trying to manage during the shows for quite some months, and I think that is marvelous. Who was that used to say that? You look marvelous. I think this is just marvelous. And it's come off without a hitch technologically, and that's a good thing. And I was saying, you know, you don't know, and there's no reason for you, no reason why you should know, but you don't know about, you know, all the little things that go wrong during a show. I'm watching two screens. I'm monitoring four computers. I've got a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 programs running. And I'm monitoring all that. And any plus the mixer and the phones. And so then if anything starts going haywire, I have to manage that while I'm doing the show. Now, don't cry. It's okay. It's all right. It's what I do. But then, you know, if there's some sort of a blip in the video or in one of the players isn't working right, Well, okay, we have to, the show has to go on. I can't stop the show unless something like, you know, the mixer goes dead and then we can't, we'd have no microphones, something like that. Then we'd have to stop the show and fix the problem. But normally, we just go right ahead. But I explain to each of you then, in the K-Files e-zine, what was up, what we're working on, what improvements we're working on. And I can tell you right now, one of the things we're working on for the members area is we're looking at some way where you can upload your videos. Okay, your videos, you've got videos of UFOs or ghosts or whatever, you'll be able to upload them. It will be something similar to the same kind of service you have down at YouTube, all right? So we're looking at a way to do that. It's not as easy as you think it may be, but we're looking for a way and at several ways, several software packages for being able to do that. It'd be another upgrade for the members area. And so, you know, we're always looking at ways to improve what we're doing and to improve your experience at the Kevin Smith Show and make it more fun for you. All right, but the way you know about what's going on is through the K-Files e-zine. Now, we had a weird software issue that came up related to our podcast. The podcasts are called K-Pods, and they're in the members area. This show will go into the members area as a podcast in K-Pods. Each show does. We had a weird software thing where the software that we use to create the list, and it's a special software that creates an RSS list so that you can use iTunes and download. Although you don't have to use iTunes to download, you can just click on it and listen online if you want to. But that software would accept new entries, but would not print them out to the list. So, you know, we had K-Pods stacking up. We were uploading them, but we couldn't update the list. We were updating it in the software, but it wouldn't print it out. We still don't know why. But once I reached the end of the rope, and I tried everything I knew to try up to and including uninstalling the software and reinstalling it and manually typing in all the information for all those shows for the whole year, and it still stopped at the same date. It refused to print out any more listings. Don't know why. Well, then I put it in the K-Files e-zine. I sent a special note out, an email, to each of our members and simply said, folks, I don't know what to do. I have no answer for this. I've never seen anything like this. I've got no answer for it. I don't know what to do. And one of our listeners suggested a piece of software. I downloaded the trial version. It worked beautifully. And thank God, the listener who suggested that I try that software paid for registering the software. And that's what we use now. But the point is, the K-Files e-zine is the way that you stay informed about what's happening inside the show and where we're going and what we're working on, what improvements are coming, what changes are coming. I can tell you changes are coming, all right? You know me. If you've been with this show for any length of time, it's been around for 8 years. If you've been with me for any length of time whatsoever, you know I don't let grass grow under my feet. You know that if there's any possibility of me upgrading something and making it better, I'm working on doing that. I'm looking for a way to do that. And, you know, I don't let things just set static. So the K-Files E-Zine is the way to go, and it's free. I marvel that people, for whatever reason, they say, I don't want that. Okay, you don't want it, you don't want it. But, you know, don't expect when I get 30 emails from some people who are asking a question that I've already written about three times in the K-Files E-Zine, don't expect that I'm going to sit down and answer 30 emails with information I've already published for 3 weeks. I can't. I don't have the time. I do have the time, though, to answer other emails. Emails, and I love your emails. I want you to click on where it says email Kevin Smith or contact us and send me your thoughts, your comments. Send me, sometimes you have a suggestion. You want me to take a look at a link. You do need to understand that by using our contact page, that gets you through all of our email spam email filters. The contact page gets you through there. There is one other thing I need to tell you, though, and it's very important. If you send me an email and you send it as listener comment, and then you send the same thing, you copy and paste, you send the same thing as other, and you send the same thing as member support, and you send the same thing as a media inquiry, you've just spammed. And what's going to happen is the spam filters are going to catch it and dump it. I'll never even see it. So if you're commenting on a show or a topic, that's a listener comment. Send it. I'll see it. I'll read it. If you're suggesting a link that you want me to go take a look at, that's a suggestion. Click on suggestion and send it. I'll see it, and I'll take a look at it. And as many emails as I can answer, I answer. I appreciate your emails. You make the show. Last night, as an example, we had Paul Smith on. Now, Paul Smith talked to us about remote viewing, right? Well, it's been a while since I had Paul on the show, and I had several people that sent emails saying, how about another show on remote viewing? And recommended that I have Paul back on the show. Well, you see what happened? You matter. Maybe you don't matter anywhere else. I don't know. But you matter right here at the Kevin Smith Show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, when we have a guest talking to us about living in a matrix. Until then, this is Kevin Smith. So long, everybody.